This morning I thought I would give you a message about for Mother's Day. And if you have an outline, it's the Great Woman of Shunem. Let me read in 2 Kings chapter 4. 2 Kings chapter 4. And I'm going to read in verses 8 to 17. I thought I had a piece of paper in my Bible for that, but I don't. I lost it. Anyway, here we go. 2 Kings chapter 4, beginning in verse 8. And it fell on a day that Elisha passed to Shunem, where was a great woman. And she constrained him to eat bread, so it was that as oft as he passed by, he turned in thither, or there, to eat bread. And she said unto her husband, Behold, now I perceive that this is a holy man of God, which passeth by us continually. Let us make a little chamber, I pray thee, on the wall, and let us set for him there a bed, and a table, and a stool, and a candlestick. And it shall be, when he cometh to us, that he shall turn in thither. And it fell on a day that he came thither, that he turned in unto the chamber and lay there. And he said to Gehazi, his servant, Call this Shunammite. And when he had called her, she stood before him. And he said unto him, Say now unto her, Behold, thou hast been careful for us with all this care. What is to be done for thee? Wouldst thou be spoken of for the king, to the captain of the host? And she answered, I dwell among mine own people. And he said, What then is to be done for her? And Gehazi answered, Verily she hath no child, and her husband is old. And he said, Call her. And when he had called her, she stood in the door. And he said, About this time, about this season, according to the time of life, thou shalt embrace a son. And she said, Nay, my lord, thou man of God, do not lie unto thine handmaid. And the woman conceived and bare a son at that season that Elisha had said unto her, according to the time of life. Heavenly Father, as we open this word, this holy scripture, I pray that you would speak to our hearts. Help the dear ladies today that are mothers here today, and that you would help them to find great encouragement by this lesson, this message from your word. It's not me, it's you or your Holy Spirit that can do that. And I pray for your blessing upon our service today. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. Occasionally an individual makes by the things he does, and particularly the town or the city in which they live, to be remembered forever. There were many homes in Bethany, but it was Mary, Martha, and Lazarus who put Bethany on the map. Bethlehem is well known for the fact that both David and the Lord Jesus were born there. Now, I need a little help from the audience this morning. What presidents have made these towns famous? Just shout it out. Plains, Georgia. Jimmy Carter. Dixon, Illinois. New Salem, Illinois. Abraham Lincoln. Galena, Illinois. Grant. Ulysses S. Grant. Over the centuries, many people have lived in Shunem, but just one woman gave it an unforgettable spot in human history. The small village of Shunem was in the parcel of land allotted to to the tribe, the Jewish tribe of Issachar. It is nestled in the mountains and the hill country west of the Jordan River. It is located 15 miles southwest of the Sea of Galilee. The village of Endor and Mount Tabor lie to the north of Shunem. Jezreel and Mount Gilboa are south of this little village. Shunem is positioned close to the plain of Jezreel or Esdraelon, where the Battle of Armageddon is going to be fought. There are two other references to the little town of Shunem. The first is 1 Samuel 28, verse 34. The Philistine army camped there, set up camp there, probably because of its spring, the spring in Shunem, an excellent water supply for the troops of the Philistine army that came to this northern area of Israel to attack King Saul at Gilboa. The second reference is in 1 Kings chapter 1 in verses 3 and 15. David is on his deathbed, and the doctors of the day examined him. He doesn't have long to live. And he's cold over all of his body. And so a nurse by the name of Abishag, a very fair or beautiful woman, was called to lie in bed with David to help him warm up. Abishag was called a Shunammite because she was of the little village of Shunem. In our text today in 2 Kings chapter 4 and verse 8, it says that a great woman lived in Shunem. I wonder if the people of her day thought that she was great. God, through his Holy Spirit and Holy Scriptures, records that this was a great person. Yet as great as she was, her name is never given. She may not have been written in Israel's equivalent to McCall's magazine or Women's Day or People magazine, or even Israel's Who's Who. Yet God did not overlook her character and her good works. Let's note today then what God says about this dear lady and why she was great. First of all, she had great spiritual insight, verses 8 and 9. It says there that when Elisha passed to Shunem, where was a great woman, and she constrained him to eat bread, and so it was that as oft as he passed by, he turned in thither to eat bread, and she said unto her husband, Behold, now I perceive that this is the holy man of God, which passeth by us continually. She perceived, she knew in her mind, she knew in her heart, that this was a man of God. It is the Holy Spirit who gives these spiritual gifts. We read in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 8, For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit. Spiritual wisdom and just good old common sense is what it's talking about there in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 8. Now, the Holy Spirit gives gifts to certain people. But you say, well, what if I don't have the spiritual gift, the gift of spiritual perception or insight? 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15 says, Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Excuse me. Study God's word. It's what it's saying there in 2 Timothy 2, verse 15. Proverbs chapter 2, I'll be reading verses 1 to 5. My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart unto understanding, yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hidden treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. We have to look to God's word. We have to study God's word if we want wisdom. You know, there's a lot of talk these days about truth. What is truth? God's word is truth. Study, read God's word. He says, incline thy ear unto wisdom. Incline your ear unto God's word. Apply thine heart to understanding. You want to grow in spiritual wisdom. You want to grow in spiritual insight, spiritual perception. Get into God's word. If thou criest after knowledge, if you pray, Lord, give me insight in this situation. Help me to understand what you're wanting me to do in this situation. Look to God's word. Young people, I don't know if you know what the Lord wants you to do in life yet, but my suggestion is to the young people here, don't be seeking after God's will in your life for your life's work and life's mate until you get into God's word. Go to the book of Proverbs and read Proverbs and Ecclesiastes, words from Solomon. Seek God's direction for your life and life's mate. James chapter 1, verses 5 and 6, we read, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like the wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. I don't know if you know what the word upbraideth not means, but I looked it up one time, and it means that God is not in heaven laughing at us because we don't know. God's not making fun of us because we're asking for wisdom. God wants us to ask for wisdom. And he wants to give it to us if we ask. If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God who giveth to all men liberally. That means generously. Seek God's wisdom each and every day. Mary, the sister of Martha and Lazarus, also had spiritual perception. If it wasn't given to her by the Holy Spirit, it was given to her by the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Three times in the New Testament, you find Mary, the sister to Martha and Lazarus, at Jesus' feet, taking in Christ's words, meditating, memorizing, and receiving instruction and spiritual perception of the Lord. Oh, how we need spiritual perception each and every day. Oh, how our parents need to have this same spiritual insight and spiritual perception to help our children in choosing the right friends, in choosing the right mate for life, in choosing and control what we watch on TV or the internet or our cell phones, in choosing modest clothing. Hey, folks, summer is coming on. That's no brainer. We all know summer's almost here, but certain people want to show their skin as much as they possibly can. We need modesty, mothers that have modesty and are sharing modesty and encouraging their children to be modest in dress. The woman of Shunem was considered great by God because she had spiritual insight and perception. Christian mom, read God's word, study it, meditate on it, memorize it, to increase your spiritual insight, and then pray for spiritual insight as well. Secondly, the woman of Shunem was great because she was hospitable. Look at verse 8. And she constrained him to eat bread. And so it was that as often as she passed by, he turned in hither to eat bread. And then look at verse 10. Here is the Shunammite woman speaking. Let us make a little chamber, I pray thee, on the wall, and let us set for him there a bed and a table and a stool and a candlestick. And it shall be when he has come hither, come to us, that he shall turn in hither. This says to me, it says, as oft as he passed by, he turned in to eat bread. That says to me that Elisha didn't just come after she had completed her spring house cleaning and when the laundry was all done and everything was in place. He stopped by this home whenever he was in the area, probably during canning season, and the kitchen is a mess. Laundry time, busy times, quiet times. The lady and her husband provided a meal according to the prophet's need, not in accordance to their convenience. Secondly, this great woman is asking her husband, let us make a little chamber. It was her idea, but she never acted independently of her husband. It seems as though her husband was in full agreement of caring for the needs of Elisha and his servant. They had built on the roof or on the second floor of their home an addition. I don't know who was the carpenter. It says that the husband was older, up in age. I'm up in age, folks. And the older I get, the slower I'm going. And I imagine this guy's going a little bit slower than he used to go too. So they had probably had to pay for the addition to be put onto their home. It says that this little chamber was on the wall. That's where the watchman was normally lodged, suggesting that Elisha was the watchman for Israel. This little prophet's chamber was provided for from their own dwelling. It was separate from their own dwelling, and it was separate also from the world. When once completed, it was furnished with a bed, a place to rest after a long, strong, strenuous journey. A table, a place for food, fellowship. A stool, an item for rest, a place of study and learning. A candlestick, idea of illumination and insight, but also a symbol of testimony. What a testimony Elisha, the prophet of Israel, was throughout Israel. The Apostle Peter writes in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verses 8 and 9, above all things, have fervent charity or love among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins. Use hospitality one to another without grudging. Remember Rahab, the not so nice lady down in Jericho, a lady of the street? She showed hospitality to the spies that came to her house by housing them overnight, a place of refuge until the soldiers of Jericho passed by. Martha showed hospitality to the Lord Jesus by preparing a meal. I want to read in Acts chapter 16, verses 14 and 15, about a lady named Lydia. And a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worshiped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened, that she attended unto the things that were spoken of Paul. And when she was baptized in her household, she besought us, saying, If ye have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there. And she constrained us. Here we have example after example of people, especially ladies, who showed hospitality. When I was growing up in Belvedere, my folks would house sometimes an evangelist, a missionary, college groups from time to time. Sometimes my folks would even have Christian couples from the church home over on Sunday night after the evening service. And the evening services were a little bit later back in those days, because just about all the farmers in the church in Belvedere had dairies. And they had to milk the cows in the evening before they came to church, so the service didn't start till 7:30. But my folks had time to have folks over for fellowship after the evening service. Hospitality is a good work that we do for the Lord. Maybe you are a widow here today. When college kids come and do a ministry here in the church, you might consider housing a single lady or two in your home if you possibly can. For those who are married, remember what this lady did? She consulted her husband before she made a major decision. They were in agreement about the hospitality they extended to Elisha. The Shunammite woman was considered great because she was hospitable to the servant of God. Now, one thing is not clear in this passage of Scripture. It doesn't appear that Elisha's servant Gehazi stayed in the prophet's chamber with Elisha. Did he stay downstairs with the Shunammite and her husband? In maybe a guest room? Did the servant eat with the Shunammite and her husband? It's not really clear, but it doesn't appear that the servant Gehazi stayed in the chamber with Elisha. The woman was great because she had spiritual perception. Spiritual insight. She was great because she showed hospitality. The woman of Shunem was great because she was considered great because she was satisfied with her place in life. Elisha offered to speak to the king of Israel, to the captain of the army, that some special honor might be given to her, might be conferred upon her and her husband. Note her reply. It shows her humility. It shows her contentment with their status in life. I dwell among mine own people. She is saying, that is in, by the way, that is in what verse? Verse 13. She is saying, my husband and I are humble commoners, quietly living in the country. We do not seek company nor the recognition of exalted personages. She wasn't striving after a career. She wasn't wanting a different house. She was content with her station in life. In the very next chapter, chapter 5 of 2 Kings, Gehazi, Elisha's servant, was discontent, and he went after the reward that Naaman, the captain of the Syrian army, offered to Elisha. Elisha declined it because he is saying, hey, I'm not the one that cured you. God cured you of your leprosy. as a result of Gehazi's discontentment, God struck him with Naaman's leprosy. Note the Apostle Paul's admonition in the New Testament about contentment. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verses 6 to 8. But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us therewith be content. Paul says in Philippians 4, verse 11, that was our Sunday school passage of Scripture. That was our text this morning in Sunday school. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, whatsoever circumstance I'm in, therewith to be content. Someone said it's all right to be content with what we have, but not with what we are. I want to share a Christian song that we sing often. It's entitled Higher Ground. I'm pressing on the upward way, new heights I'm gaining every day. Still praying as I'm onward bound, Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's table land, a higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. My heart has no desire to stay where doubts arise and fears dismay. Though some may dwell where these abound, my prayer, my aim is higher ground. I want to live above the world, though Satan's darts at me are hurled. For faith has caught the joyful sound, the song of saints on higher ground. I want to scale the utmost height and catch the gleam of glory bright. Still praying till heaven I found. Lord, lead me on to higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's tableland, a higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. We need to be content with what the Lord gives us, but not with what we are. We need to be growing in the Lord each and every day. This woman of Shunem was great because she was satisfied. She was content with what her lot was in life, with where she lived, and with what she possessed. The woman of Shunem was great because she was elated about becoming a mother. Verse 14. And he said, Elisha is saying to Gehazi, what then is to be done for her? And Gehazi answered, verily, she hath no child, and her husband is old. And he said, call her. And when he had called her, she stood in the door, and he said, about this season, according to the time of life, thou shalt embrace a son. Note her answer. Nay, my Lord, thou man of God, do not lie unto thine handmaid. Look at verse 28. When the son was dead, then she said, did I desire a son of my Lord? Did I not say, do not deceive me? It says in verse 17 that the woman conceived and bare a son. The son's name is not given. She is saying, in reference to Elisha's promise that she was going to have a little son, a little child. Don't lie to me. Don't kid me. Don't deceive me. This is something too personal, too close to my heart. Oh, how I long to have a child, is what she's saying. God opened Sarah's barren womb. And he did the same for Hannah and Elizabeth. Those married couples who have no problem about having children cannot fully understand the inner feelings of the wife and sometimes even the husband who cannot have children. The longing for a child to love. The great desire to have children, to bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. The aching for an infant to love and to carry and to coddle. The emptiness of no child in the home. The incompleteness of a wife. Her personhood with no child. We knew some of that when we were married for 8 years and couldn't have children. We have a daughter. Her name is Janelle. She used to be a nurse practitioner over here in Ashton. When she was there in Ashton, she had to go over to the petrol station once in a while and give physical to truck drivers. She taught nursing at Maranatha Baptist Bible College back in those days. That's what it was, college before it was the university. And the Lord brought a man in her life named Andy Kidder. There was the Kidder family in Belvedere, and when I was a youth pastor, a couple of the boys and a girl were in our youth group during the summer, and we had two teams. One I called the Kidders Critters and the Jake Jugheads. They were in our youth group. I think the Kidder family has 9 children in Belvedere. And so Andy is John Kidder's son. John Kidder, who I think was the oldest boy in the Kidder clan over in Belvedere. I'm not making fun of the Kidder family when I say clan. I'm just saying because they had such a large family, I call them Kidder clan. They originally from Shell Lake and Spooner area of Wisconsin. I think actually Shell Lake was their home. One of the girls, when I was pastoring Faith Baptist Church in Belvedere, one of the girls in our church was one of the Kidder girls, one of the younger Kidder girls. And she was the matchmaker for our daughter Janelle and for Andy, her nephew. If anybody wanted a child, it was our daughter Janelle. She's had 2 miscarriages. The last miscarriage was a result of the fertilized egg staying in the fallopian tube and growing there instead of the uterus. The uterus exploded. The fallopian tube exploded. She started bleeding internally. She was at a family reunion for the Kidders up in Shell Lake. And on the way to the bathroom, she passed out. She knew there was something wrong, so she was heading to the bathroom. She passed out, landed on the ground in a park. Andy couldn't figure out what was taking her so long, so he went out looking for Janelle, and he found her laying on the ground just outside the bathroom there in this park. He picked her up. I don't know if she was unconscious at the time or not, but he rushed her to Rice Lake in Wisconsin to the hospital. Once they diagnosed what the issue was, they immediately called for a helicopter to take her to Duluth, Minnesota, to a specialist, to a hospital up there. Doctors told Janelle and Andy, they will never have children. They knew the pain. They know the pain of not being able to have a child. Our daughter Janelle knows the sorrow of a mother who can't bear children. It's serious. We read in Psalm 113, verse 9, that he, God, maketh the barren woman to keep house and to be a joyful mother of children. I want to read to you this morning a quotation from our 26th president, Teddy Roosevelt. He says it like this: when all is said, it is the mother only, who is a better citizen than the soldier who fights for his country. And by the way, I think most of you know that Teddy Roosevelt was a soldier. He fought in the Spanish-American War. The successful mother, the mother who does her part in rearing and training aright the boys and girls who are to be the men and women of the next generation, is of greater use to the community and occupies, if she only would realize it, a more honorable as well as a more important position than any man in it. The mother is one supreme asset of the of national life. She is more important by far than the successful statesman or businessman or artist or scientist. End of quote from Teddy Roosevelt. The woman of Shunem was great because she was elated about becoming a mother. This God-honored responsibility. The woman of Shunem was great because when tragedy struck, she knew who to turn to for help. Note what it says in verse 18. And when the child was grown, it fell on a day that he went out to his father to the reapers. Jewish families have a custom called bar mitzvah. When a male child turns 13, he is considered an adult and responsible for the moral and religious duties. Verse 19. So this is probably when it says the child was grown. It was probably when he at least turned 13. Verse 19. And he said to his father, this is the boy now, the young man, "My head, mine head." And he said to a lad, "Carry him to his mother." Ryrie in his study Bible says, this sickness could have been heat stroke. We don't know, but it could have been. Verse 20, and when he had taken him and brought him to his mother, the young man sat on her knees till noon, and then died. Verse 21 tells us the mother took her dead son to the prophet's chamber up the stairs and laid the son on the prophet's bed. The custom in Bible times, both the Old and the New Testament, was immediate burial. The widow's son of Nain was being carried in a casket, a bier, it says, a bier or casket, was being carried to his burial when Jesus interrupted the processional and says, "What's going on?" And they told him about the widow's son of Nain, and Jesus raised that young man to life. Lazarus, in John chapter 11, Mary and Martha's brother died, and Jesus brought him back to life after 4 days that he was dead. Ananias and Sapphira in Acts chapter 5 lied to what they were giving to the church. "Oh, we're giving all of the money that we got from the sale of our property." But they didn't give it all. They lied. And God struck both Ananias and his wife Sapphira dead because they both told the same story. Burial was not in this woman's plans. Her thought was to get Elisha here as quickly as possible. Verse 22. And she called unto her husband and said, "Send me, I pray thee, one of thy young men and one of the asses, that I may run to the man of God and come again." The next verse, the husband is asking, why are you wanting to go there? It's not a Jewish holiday. It's not a feast day. Why are you wanting to go? And her answer was, it shall be well. Now, she's not deceiving her husband. This is her faith being shown. She didn't tell him our son is dead. She just said, it's going to be okay. She had faith that Elisha was going to raise that son to life again. So she asked permission to go. And he says, yeah, it's okay. Verse 23. So she went and came to the man of God to Mount Carmel. It says there in verse, verse 22, that I may run to the man of God. It says in verse 24, she saddled the ass and said to her servant, drive and go forward and slack not thy riding for me, except I bid thee. Now it sounds like the servant is riding on a donkey, according to verse 22. And according to verse 22, that she is running, okay? My question, I hope you don't think I'm liberal here. I hope you don't think I'm a liberal preacher. I'm not a liberal preacher. I love God's word. My question is, when it says run, when she says that I may run to the man of God, is this a colloquialism? Is this a figure of speech? You know, when we talk on the phone and the person on the other end gets a little long-winded, we'll say, I've got to run to the store. Now, I don't know of anybody in 2026 that is going to literally run to the store, because we don't have those neighborhood stores anymore. What the person is saying, I have to run to the store, I got to get in the car and I got to go quickly to the store. Now, I want you to keep in mind that Mount Carmel, has anyone here been to Israel, the Holy Land? I haven't been. We heard John Getch speak, evangelist John Getch, when he was at Memorial just this past winter. And he mentioned Mount Carmel, and my ears perked up, because I always thought when Elijah faced the prophets of Baal on Mount Carmel, that they went down the mountain from Mount Carmel into the Mediterranean Sea to get those, what, 4 barrels of water to soak the altar? John Getch said, that is really rough terrain. And you can't go down that rough terrain into the Mediterranean Sea from Mount Carmel. By the way, Mount Carmel is located some 20 to 25 miles northwest of Shunem. And the lady, the mother, is going to run that distance? Is she a marathon runner? I can't run a block anymore, so anything about 20 to 25 miles. I'm wondering, please don't think I'm liberal. I'm wondering, when it's talking about saddling a donkey and riding, Could it be that saddling a donkey means harnessing a donkey and using a cart, the donkey pulling the cart, and her and the woman, the Shunammite woman, and the servant, or their servant, is riding in a cart, and she's saying, "Hey, don't slack up. Keep moving that donkey as fast as you can, because we got to get to Elisha. Don't worry about the bumps in the road. Keep on going. Put the foot to the metal. The pedal to the metal. Keep going as fast as you can." Her son was dead. She had no plans of burying that son yet, but getting to Elisha. I can't help but see her statement, "It shall be well," her faith in God. Christian mom and dad, do you have a son or a daughter dead in trespasses and sins? Then be daily in prayer with the Lord, who can bring spiritual life to that loved one. A mother kept a candle burning in her window over every night for 10 years. One night, very late, a poor, wretched woman came in from the street. The aged mother said to her, "Sit down by the fire." The stranger asked, "Why do you keep the light in the window?" The old mother replied, "That light is for my wayward daughter. She left home 10 years ago. I'm praying for her to return. I've kept the light in the window for 10 years. Others often blame me for worrying about her, but you see, I love her. I'm her mother. Often in the night, I open the door and I look out into the darkness and I cry, 'Lizzie! Lizzie!'" And the woman from the street began to weep. The aged mother looked closely at her and said, "Why, how cold and sick you seem. You must have trouble enough of your own." Then suddenly the mother exclaimed, "Can it be? Yes, you are Lizzie, my own lost child. Thank God you are home again." How thankful we can be for our mother's love. God considered this woman great because when tragedy struck in her home, she had faith in God and she turned to God for help. Faith is the assurance, the substance or the assurance of things hoped for, and the evidence or the conviction of things not seen. Now, let me read the rest of the story, beginning in verse 29. "Then he said to Gehazi, 'Gird up thy loins and take my staff in thine hand and go thy way. If thou meet any man, salute him not. And if any man salute thee, answer him not again, and lay my staff upon the face of the child.' And the mother of the child said, 'As the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee.' And he arose and he followed her. And Gehazi passed on before them and laid the staff upon the face of the child, but there was neither voice nor hearing. Wherefore he went again to meet him and told him, saying, 'The child is not awaked.' And when Elisha was come into the house, behold, the child was dead and laid upon his bed. And when he went in, therefore, and shut the door upon him twain, upon the twain, this Elisha and the young lad, and prayed unto the Lord. And he went up and lay upon the child, put his mouth upon his mouth, his eyes upon his eyes, his hands upon his hands. And he stretched himself upon the child, and the flesh of the child warmed, waxed warm. And when he returned and walked in the house to and fro, and went up and stretched himself upon him, and the child sneezed 7 times, and the child opened his eyes. And he called Gehazi and said, call the Shunammite. So he called her. And when she was come in unto him, he said, take up thy son. Then she went in and fell on his face, at his feet, and bowed herself to the ground, and took up her son and went out. Ryrie just wanted one comment. Elisha is not resuscitating this man with mouth-to-mouth resuscitation. He didn't do that. It was a miracle of God that brought this child back to life. God considered the woman of Shunem great because of her spiritual insight, because she was hospitable, because she was satisfied with her status in life, because she was elated about becoming a mother, because of her faith in God and seeking the right source of help in time of need. You know, moms, these are qualities that every one of you can possess. These are qualities that God highly favors and God richly rewarded. You can possess these qualities. They are not out of your reach. They begin with faith in God. Faith in God's Son, Jesus Christ, as your Redeemer. The one who paid the price to purchase us from the slave market of sin. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Trust God. If you haven't trusted God and put faith in Christ, today is the day to do that.